This is Pulse 95. You're listening to the Yellow Home Podcast.
Music's greatest songs. Greatest songs. Worth covering. Original classic hitmakers.
Now listen carefully, guys. Can you hear that? Can you hear this riff in the background? It's one of the most famous guitarists of all time, by a band that literally swept through in a very short period of time, really, when you actually go from start to finish, and it all came to quite an abrupt end in April of, I think, 1994, but I'll get back to you on that. This band were utterly remarkable and so true to who they were. So it's nice to play this song I'm going to play from them, of which there are many. I'm going to play Come As You Are. And actually delving into the meaning of the song Come As You Are, there isn't really one, which is quite interesting. And I was really into finding out what it was about, whether they were the talking about pitching up as you. It's a discussion, funnily enough, Hass, that you and I have had a lot. So when you go to an event and someone says to you, and it happened recently, you said to me, they said to me, smart casual, Anna, what does that mean? Because you're big Hass, you're hip hop, you're, you know, you've got your handkerchief on your head
bandana,
or you got your handkerchief. That's so English of me. Put your handkerchief on your head, sir.
That'd be funny.
You know, and you wear the clothes you wear, and you're super cool. And when we went to Sharjah Performing Arts Academy, we were doing a talk there a couple of weeks ago, and you rocked it up in your shirt and your tie and your bandana and your big hip hop kind of trainers, and it's such a look. So when someone tries to define you, I get mad. Like, don't tell Hass what to wear, because Big Hass shouldn't be told what to wear.
Come as they are.
Come as you are. Mm. So that's what I always thought this song was kind of about, especially as Nirvana, the band, redefined what was punk, what was rock, and they did away with what was sort of hair rock, you know, this long-haired thing that everyone was doing. Everyone thought the proper rock bands, you had to have hair down to your waist, and the guys all flung their sweaty hair around. Mm. Nirvana broke all that. They smashed through it and just went, no, but they are so rock, and they were grunge, and they were properly urban.
It's incredible that you say that. You know, as a kid growing up in Saudi Arabia, I remember one thing about Nirvana, the Nirvana Unplugged, which I'm sure you're going to talk about.
I am indeed.
This was it for me. And I was like, wow. The settings, how he was singing, how they were performing. So, I can't wait to know them more.
And actually, when you get to that, that was weeks before we lost the lead singer, Kurt Cobain. So very real. That was a very real moment that Hass is talking about. And that's the bit we all remember if you're sort of our age. So they're an American rock band formed in Washington, funnily enough, in 1987. And they were founded by the singer-songwriter and the guitarist, very famous for being a most amazing guitarist, Kurt Cobain. That's the guy we know. That's the one I think pretty much everyone knows. I feel like even kids now will probably know of Kurt Cobain. And he was married to Courtney Love, famous actress. And also, she was a wild child, and she had famous parents. And the coming together of those two and the getting married, and they've got a daughter called Bean.
Truth.
Yeah. And so my daughter's middle name is Bean.
Wow.
She's Lola Bean. And actually, there was a bit of us. Actually, we kept calling her Bean because every time we went for a scan, it just looked like a kidney bean. And we would be like, there's the bean. This is our baby. It's the bean.
See, that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
Not calling your kid April or, sorry, not April. Wednesday. No. What was it? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday or Apple.
Yeah. No, she was the Bean. And so her nickname is Beanie. But also, we were huge fans of Nirvana anyway, particularly my husband. So when I said the Bean, he was like, we are calling her Bean. So that's her name. And I hope she grows up to be a famous actress called Lola Bean because it's super funny. Now, the next name that you know and probably will have heard, the bassist, his name, she says, not being able to pronounce it, Chris Novoselic. The band went through a succession of drummers, absolutely loads, but they ended up on Dave Grohe for most of it. 1990, they landed on him. Alternative rock, okay, and they're also referenced as being the figurehead of Generation X. They are named as sort of being the creators of that. But they created a modern rock and roll, and they are still used as a rock and roll reference now. You've always got Nirvana mentioned in all the things. Their first album was called Bleach.
I know,
that's so funny.
Crazy.
Crazy. And they were that band. They were out there. Their second album, though, was the one that absolutely rocked everyone. And that was the one that this song is from, Nevermind, 1991. And everyone is very familiar with Nevermind. And it was literally a cultural phenomenon of the 90s. It was just huge. Certified diamond, blah, 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 blah. They have a true rock punk aesthetic. They're a fusion, though, of pop melodies. And what they call it is pop melodies with noise. And I love that. Because, look, listen. So this song is actually a bit of a love song. And it's super cool. And then suddenly everyone starts going mental and all the instruments play at the same time. And it's pop music with noise. But they were always plagued by their internal politics. There was lots of it. Obviously, most songs were written by Kurt Cobain. Midway through the band's career, when they'd been in it for a few years, he turned around and he said, look, the royalties were being split by all the band members. And he turned around and said, well, this isn't really fair. I write all the songs, so I'd like to actually reassess the shares and who gets what percentage. And the musicians, the other guys in the band, all went, okay, cool, that's fair. You do write most of the songs. And then he went, oh, and by the way, I'd like to go back retrospectively and receive all my money from all the sales so far. To which the band then went, whoa, 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 hang on a minute. But he kind of won, and he got 75% deal of whatever it was retrospectively. Mm. And that didn't sit well with any of them, and it stayed with them. You've already talked about the MTV Video Music Awards. Oh. Actually, you talked about the Unplugged, which is very, very famous. There are lots of rumours about that. Unfortunately, Kurt Cobain was following the rock and roll lifestyle. So things that you're exposed to when you are rock and roll sort of megastar, he was being exposed to. But you've got to remember, this is in a very short space of time. There's a big... well, it's not. It's just quite a small festival. The Reading Festival is named in their history of being one of the best performances they've ever given. And of course, reading this as a Brit going, the Reading Festival? Really? It would be like, what would it be like? It's just quite a small place, Reading, and its festival isn't really known for being out there, but they played the Reading Festival, and apparently it's amazing. But their rise to fame is quite weird. They were still touring with the first album. They then brought out their second album, which is the one. If you want to download a Nirvana album, do it. Just do the second one. And on the back of this album, out came Smells Like Teen Spirit. Everyone jumped on Smells Like Teen Spirit. This is a proper rebellion, but with a melody. It thrashes around, but it's fantastic. And it's got anger, but it's also got passion. But you want to dance to it. It's the most incredibly enticing piece of music. Mm. So it's studied in colleges and universities. Like, listen to it as a song. It's just a bit hardcore for radio, and some of the lyrics are a bit dubious. That came out, they were on the back of this amazing song, and suddenly they were absolutely huge, but they were still playing quite small venues. However, they'd been touring and touring and touring with their first album, and they were too tired, and they said, we're not going to tour on the next album, never mind, we don't want to tour for a bit. And then they started arguing about which song would be released next. Come As You Are was the one that the label wanted. Kurt Cobain didn't. And there's another band who'd released a song called 80s. I forget their name. And that band, Something Joke, that band were furious because they say that Come As You Are is very, very similar to their song 80s. Wow. So there's a bit of a conflict there. They didn't actually end up suing. They threatened to, but they didn't end up suing. It's all fine. They walked away. Kurt Cobain did feel that it was a bit like that, though. Apparently, he did kind of understand where this band were coming from. Anyway, they released Come As You Are. He was persuaded into it by his label. And of course, it's a huge hit. At this point, they are now attracting so much attention. Wherever they go, there is TV crews, there is press. And really, they hadn't jumped to that next level yet. Mm. But they somehow hit on the feeling of people. They brought in this new kind of sort of punky rock that had melodies to it. They didn't have long hair. They were cool. They looked super. You know, Kurt Cobain was just gorgeous. And then, of course, he's married to Courtney Love, who is also a gorgeous actress, and she's wild as well. So this crazy buzz was created by this band. And what they said was, we're not going to tour, but what we'll do is lots of small performances here and there. Did a couple of MTVs, did various awards, did the Reading Festival, did all those sorts of things, and then ended up on MTV Unplugged. Mm. But they said that they wouldn't. There was one, actually, I've got to go back a minute, because when they went to the MTV Awards, they were told they couldn't play the song that was currently the biggest song in the time. It has a title that I don't feel comfortable saying on air.
Yeah.
The title of this song, and it's not like it's a swear word or anything, but it's just protagonistic, if you like, and a bit controversial, you need to listen to the song. They said they weren't allowed to play it. This is Nirvana. Yeah. So they get up on stage and everyone's holding their breath. And they play, Kurt Cobain starts playing the first few bars of the song. And everyone is going, really? Are you going to do this at the MTV Awards? He does the first line and then the band crack in to another song. No one ever mentioned it. And off they go. So they just teased. And I love that humor.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, this generation is always like you felt they're rebellious. And obviously at that point, rock and alternative rock metal was really leading, you know?
Yeah,
at that point, this was like at the, you know, at the top of the game, of the rock game, you know?
Yeah, the 90s,
yeah,
late 80s, 90s.
Like that was it. It was rock all over, you know?
Right.
Hip-hop just took over 3 years ago. So technically speaking, I see where that could, so it's crazy.
And they suddenly became top of their tree and they didn't really know what to do with that. Add to that that you've got some addictions and things like that going on within the band, certainly Kurt Cobain. So they did this, and that was obviously named. So they were probably putting themselves in the kind of we're daring and we're just doing what we like anyway. Then Unplugged is done. They say to MTV, we're not going to do our popular songs. We actually want to do four songs that are completely unknown. Mm-hmm. At that point, MTV are like, all right, do what you like. And they did this set that now has gone down in history as one of the most incredible pieces of art. It is. It's a spectacle.
Yeah.
These performers did, what the energy they created.
The setting of the place, the candles, everything, the mood, everything about it, how he was singing, Kurt Cobain. I dive into it.
Yeah.
Regardless of how he left us, I just dive into what he was going through. And it's just kind of interesting.
Very, very raw. So you can hear from Hass as well. Super raw. There was a reason why he was like he was. And the story behind the scenes, you know, rumor has it and legend has it that he needed to be slightly revived and wasn't very well before he came on. But then suddenly went, okay, I'm good, let's go. 2 minutes before getting on stage and then doing this incredible set. So what you do see is a performer raw. So then they became hugely famous for that. Weeks later, he's with his wife. They are in this city hotel together, and she walked into the bedroom and found him. And that pretty much was the end. He was in facilities a couple of times, but he checked himself out and that was the end of it. And Courtney Love then took over, I feel, because I remember that stage. And it got very famous because Courtney Love was so furious with him. And was very, you know, at the funeral was very angry openly angry about the loss of the father for their daughter, amongst other things, you know, and that was very famous as well. So continued the rock and roll legend. So now when you listen to the song that I'm going to play, you can have all that knowledge going because they really were spectacular. And there literally is five to 7 years in it. They did Come As You Are by Nirvana, written by Kurt Cobain. Absolutely huge. Top of the Billboard Hot 100 in America. Top of the UK charts. Sat there for ages. Huge, unexpected success. And there they were, and this is what took them to it. So the video is also amazing. If you want to go and watch that again, you'll feel it. You will feel them. They were about enticing all the senses, this band, and completely raw. So enjoy it. And you remember, it's pop with noise. And I didn't make that up. I wish that had been my review. It is the Music Greats. Enjoy Nirvana. We're Yalla Home.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every weekday from 5 p.m.